from England to Brazil.
It doesn't matter because he's got him. It's Neymar.
Germany to Argentina.
Allá con Valdano Maradona.
We got you covered. This is the Pro-In with Kit McConico.
Yeah, could I speak to Sir Alex Ferguson, please? Can I kick it?
Buenos dias, good morning, and welcome on in to the only show in the capital city where you can talk about the beautiful game live on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming worldwide on hornfm.com and on the Horn FM app. This is the Throw-In, and I want to welcome you on again on this beautiful Sunday morning. Obviously, no Kit McConico, our international man of mystery, off doing his usual international man of mysteries type things. But don't worry, we have the ship steadied for you, and we have a terrific show in store. I'm the Smash, Justin Simmons. I'll be leading you through this little shindig. But don't worry, I'm not solo. My main man, the best producer in the whole, possibly state of Texas, probably one of the best in the region, the one, the only, the Greek god himself, the Count, Zach Christodoulidis.
How's it going, Justin?
Injury-wise, it's going a lot better for my team than it is for your team. And I know we'll be talking about that later, won't we?
I was really hoping we could make it more than, what are we, 2.5 minutes into the show before you brought up your team?
I can't help it. They've been playing so well. So obviously we will be talking about Premier League soccer. We also are going to be talking about the NASL for some odd reason, the North American Soccer League. They have a little dispute with the United States Soccer Federation. We'll get into that. Zach, you have mentioned it before on this show, wanting to talk to the head coach at the UT women's soccer team, Angela Kelly, because her team continues to show a good performance in their terrific run of form. We'll talk about them a little bit later in our college segment. Of course, we will go around the world. We have Champions League lined up for you because it is back again this week.
We have Champions League, man!
I miss Claudio Ranieri in the Prem. I don't know about you, but I do miss that man.
What is he up to these days? Does anyone know?
I think he's coaching in Italy.
Is he?
That's what I checked last time. That only seems like the most natural thing for the Italian to do is to go back to his hometown.
So. I just hope he's happy. The way that whole thing went down with Leicester, it really was undeserved. But I just hope that whatever he's doing, he's found a spot that really can appreciate him and that he's happy and that he's doing something that he loves with a team that he really likes, because you really love to see him when he was at Leicester.
You know, Zach, I don't want to get off topic too much, but at the same token, I mean, we will never forget about him or that team. I mean, they pulled off literally what was thought to be impossible and insurmountable odds and came through and won the title. And we're still talking about it today, even though that happened about, a season and a half ago?
Yeah. I don't think we're going to stop talking about it for a while just because of how unbelievable it was. And, I mean, you look at what's going on in the Premier League this year, you've got the traditional powers kind of making their way back to the top with the Manchester United, the Manchester Cities of the world. And you just wonder, when's the next time a team like Leicester is going to be able to repeat that? And, unfortunately, I don't know if it's going to happen within our lifetime.
Well, that's just it. It wasn't supposed to happen with a team like Leicester just because of the influx of foreign money into the highest echelons of the European soccer game, that little clubs were no longer supposed to have a chance to win the top title of their respective leagues. You were not supposed to see a team like Nottingham Forest win the title again.
Yeah, it brings up questions of financial fair play and all of the rules that have been tried to be implemented just to make sure that the small teams can still succeed. But that's not what we want to talk about right now. There's drama going on in U.S. soccer, in the echelons of U.S. soccer, especially with NASL, USL. Who's the true second division team, and what's going on with that?
Well, according to the United States Soccer Federation, it is no longer the NASL. Earlier this week, the United States Soccer Federation has officially pretty much shown the door to the NASL and says, you guys are no longer the one part of the de facto Division II here in the pyramid of the United States Soccer Federation structure. Now, what that means is all those jokes I was making about if Austin was going to get a new soccer team, that maybe they could go into partnership with the NASL. It turns out that would have been a horrible idea because that would have lost that Division II standing. It does raise a lot of questions, though, Zach. the biggest one, we remember Footy McFootface.
Yes.
From San Diego. Obviously, they did not get the MLS squad.
San Diego.
Ah, San Diego. I can't say what I think that means on air, but if you know the movie, you know exactly what it means. They just got approved for a team there. They seem to be one of the most viable cities for an MLS franchise. Do you think off the bat that this is going to have any effect on their bid to become an MLS franchise, considering they will no longer be part of the Division II aspect of the structure in U.S. soccer?
I think it has to be part of the question, but I think the fact that they were trying to make the move over to MLS is part of the reason why NASL is Division II status has been removed. I mean, you look at the reason why U.S. soccer decided to end it, it's because the league didn't meet a minimum requirement of 12 teams. NASL has been on the decline for several years now with the number of teams that they have, and USL has done nothing but grow during that time. So I think this change was inevitable.
But I at the same token, and that's just because we just got a team ourselves, I feel that the USL might have started overreaching. And there is such thing as overexpansion. And this is something that happened originally with the North American Soccer League, which had its heyday. And surprisingly, Zach, no, I was not old enough to remember the heyday of the North American Soccer League before you get into that story. But during the 70s, that one pinch in a time where you had like Pele over here and Beckenbauer, it was rather popular. Worldwide of Sports on ABC showing the Soccer Bowl, the final to the NASL, and it was a big deal. But overexpansion was one of the reasons why that league shuttered its doors multiple times in its effort to restart, and they never were really able to recover. I'm hoping that the same fate doesn't hit the USL, and considering where they're positioned now, I can kind of see the North American Soccer League's point in launching their countersuit here.
Yeah, you don't want to dilute your talent pool, and right now the USL has 30 teams, 15 in the East, 15 in the West, with what do we have, five expansion teams now? You have Austin, Birmingham, Fresno, Las Vegas, and Nashville all set to join by 2019.
But the support's supposed to be there, right?
By the way, if you want a little bit of a chuckle about this whole Austin USL announcement, go to the USL Wikipedia page. Under the expansion clubs, Austin is listed as being in Elroy, Texas, because it's going to be housed at Circuit of the Americas.
I'm pretty sure the marketing department will get on that very quickly here soon.
Yeah.
It's just right outside the airport, but yeah, I guess technically it is Elroy because it's at COTA. You are correct. You know, before I forget, before we jump back into this, let me remind the friendly folks out there, you can call us 512-447-3776. Of course, you can always text us 512-337-3776. We love to know your thoughts on the essentially the elimination of the North American Soccer League from the Division II standings in the U.S. soccer pyramid. You can also chime in about the Premier League.
I want to know if people I want to know what people want to happen with the New York Cosmos, if this is truly going to happen. Do you want to see them make a move to USL? Do you want to see them make a move all the way to MLS? Do you want them to stay at NASL? What do you want? Because that is a historic club when you think about American soccer.
That's what's so sad, Zach. That is you bring up a great point.
Yeah. And, I mean, what do you want to happen?
And even though New York is so many miles away from Donna, Texas, where I grew up, the name New York Cosmos still holds a lot of resonance around the world. I mean, it is a well-branded name. And still, I think if you talk to any foreigner that's never come to America, doesn't really know much about the American way of culture, but does follow soccer, and you mention New York Cosmos, they know exactly who you're talking about.
No, I mean, the logo is iconic. Everything about them is just, when you think of what American soccer, I guess, used to be, that's the point that I think is the sticking point here, is what they used to be. You got to think of the New York Cosmos, and to see them now be, I guess, relegated to, what would this be, third division status? Does it say where the NASL is going to land? Are they even going to have a spot on the pyramid of U.S. soccer going forward?
I think the problem going in is now that even if they decide to play, and where would they fit on the pyramid? Because I don't think they even meet the requirements for the Division III status in USL.
Yeah, because you have the USL
D3.
Yeah, USL D3, USL PDL. The question I have...
Well, they're a true professional clubs. They're not semi-pros, so they can't be PDL.
Yeah, they're not PDL. I mean, I think that far, that is for sure. But the question is, okay, so you have this league that is now 10 teams large, and you got to think that after this announcement, some of those teams are going to go, well, you know what, we were struggling to make money back when we held second division status. Now that we don't even have that, how hard is it going to be to get butts in seats and to get people to come to these games and support them? I will say the interesting thing for me is that if you look at just on paper, you don't look at anything else. You look at who has the better history with the clubs, who has the better media deal. I mean, you can watch NASL games on BN right now, and you got to go to YouTube Live or go to the club's websites just to watch some of these USL matches. You look at
production,
okay,
is much different. Yeah, looks more slick on BN.
Yeah, and it's like who do you think has the better shot here? And all signs pointed to the NASL, but the USL has just grown so much in the past few years that I don't know what they can do, what NASL could do, but just kind of accept their fate, and that's really sad.
Well, that also poses the questions for teams like San Diego. You just jumped on board with
this
sinking ship, so to speak, and there's got to be tons of questions. What the problem here, though, really does stem from the United States Soccer Federation, because they had allowed waiver after waiver after waiver to allow the NASL to stay up at Division II. And now the reason why they are kicking them out is because they are no longer waiving any of the necessities to be an official D2 club in the United States Soccer Federation soccer system.
This text comes in on the Specs text line from our good friend Phil West. He says the Cosmos are averaging less than 5,000 attendance this year. And then in parentheses he says, and the Cosmos likely could have gone to USL before suing them.
But a name like the Cosmos, a team with that type of stature, shouldn't be fledgling in the lower echelons of the U.S. soccer pyramid. They should be an MLS squad. At least that badge, that name.
So what do you think they do? Do you think New York gets a third MLS team?
No, that will never happen. Just like in the NFL, there's only two NFL teams, and they don't even play in New York, but they're around the area. There's no way there could be a third. If anything, the NFL is going to London today, so we can celebrate that. Football, because the Ravens and some other team are playing at Tottenham's place.
Yeah, there we go. But, I mean, the question is, you have California with three teams here in a little bit in Major League Soccer. Do you think that, so if the Cosmos can't go to USL or to MLS, do you think they go to USL? Where do you think they land? Do you think they want to jump ship from the NASL?
If there's no contract and there's nobody to play and there's no league, they're going to have no choice. The story of the Cosmos and the brand of the Cosmos has been a funny one, because even when the team was dissolved, like we mentioned before, it has so much renaissance and it resonates through the minds of so many people that follow soccer and that just have even a casual passing about it, that they actually ended up relaunching the brand as a clothing line. I have a lot of those jerseys and jackets because it was just the iconic symbol. You know, it was kind of a good inside joke. Oh, if you like soccer, you know why I'm wearing this jersey, even though they don't exist anymore. When the team came back, it felt like there was going to be a real push to make them an MLS squad. That obviously never happened. But I can't see them just going straight away to the USL. It just doesn't seem fitting.
Well, and here's the thing. Here's the thing, Justin. The lawsuit that has been brought up is a last chance move for survival, right? And the New York Cosmos owner only bought the club on the condition that NASL remain in Division II. So you got to wonder, okay, is he going to let the team fold or is he going to fight?
No.
And this could be the end to another historic club. This could be the second time that they fold.
Well, the one thing I would say, if I'm working in the USL marketing department, I'm telling my superior that I want that club and that team name to feature in USL because it already has the worldwide recognition.
Yeah,
if you want to be taken seriously, you can get that club.
I think there's no question that that's what people want, but then where do you fit them in? You already have 30 teams. You've got 5 expansion teams. How much more do you want to dilute everything?
From what we have seen already, the United States Soccer Federation has like a full stack of waivers that they can just sign off at any time. I'm sure that since they make the rules up as they go along, that they can fit in a 31st club in the USL ranks. regardless of what anybody else has to say. I don't see it being a bad move if New York comes over and becomes part of the USL. And I think there's maybe some people out there that would agree as well. I would love to hear from them on the text line again, 512-337-3776, as we continue to go through this debacle of the NASL.
It's drama, man. You gotta love drama in U.S. soccer. It seems
That's
to be never
ever
ending.
Is.
Yeah,
That's all it ever is.
Speaking of U.S. soccer, the U.S. Men's National Team under 17 roster was put up, and Justin, you're excited about a few names on this list.
Oh, definitely. We were talking about the U-17 roster before the show started, Zach, and it kind of reckons back to a few of the questions that we received on the text line last week. When Kit is here, if you heard it come from his mouth, as well as some of ours, we want to see the young guys get a chance. And we understand there's a big difference physicality-wise when you're 17, you're playing against some of the top pros that are age 22, 23. They're just usually stronger, faster. But the beautiful thing about the beautiful game is that it's not all dependent on that athleticism. A lot of the game of soccer is dependent on technical skill. And that's what this U-17 roster really does offer us as we have some terrific players like Josh Sargent. A player that featured in the under-20 World Cup this past year for the United States that made a pretty good run. And he's going to be starting for the U-17 squad. I think he's one of those future players for U.S. soccer that should become a household name. And then you also have arguably the most talented player, the one that I think has most U.S. soccer fans salivating, you know, like a dog that's just getting ready to eat their food after a long walk. Tim Weah. He is the son of the Ballon d'Or 1995 winner, George Weah, the only African player to ever receive that accolade. I mean, the prospects of a Weah putting on a U.S. strip at the senior national team level, it just blows my mind. I mean, true bloodline of talent right there.
Yeah, Tim Weah plays right now for Paris Saint-Germain. I got to say, I'm actually really excited about a lot of the local products here from Texas that were on this roster. You've got a few players like Brian Reynolds, plays for a club at FC Dallas from Little Elm, Texas. You've got a few other people from Texas, Blaine Ferry
from South Lake.
Yeah, and I got to say, shout out to the team from Atlanta, the new team in MLS that has so many young players playing for them right now. You look at this roster and so many of them right next to their names, it says that they're playing for Atlanta. And you got to say, I mean, we love it when teams bring up local talent. And the fact that Atlanta seems to be banking on these young players, I think is good for the development of our national team. It might not be great for Major League Soccer. It might not be what they necessarily need in order to grow their sport. But for us as U.S. men's national team fans, it's great to see these young guys get the chance to play.
Oh, definitely so. And I think it's not just a good chance to watch these guys play, but I think they have a legitimate shot at getting to at least the semifinal. I feel that the talent is really there with this particular generation of players. And if they can kind of hold it together and develop nicely into the players that we think that they can develop into, then there is no reason why they can't have the success of the U-17 team of Mexico and hopefully have some better professional success than some of those U-17 World Cup winners from that Mexico squad that featured like the Dos Santos brothers and Chicharito and such.
Yeah, and Justin, you and I have a little bit of a disagreement going here. We're going to get to it in Around the World. It involves the U.S. men's national team kits and what was released or leaked, I guess. It hasn't been officially released yet. I think that they're pretty ugly. You think that you see where they're going with it. I think you like them. Am I right?
It's those 2 years of fashion design study, Zach.
I think they're pretty ugly. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up here and around the world. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Premier League. And yes, we mentioned it before. It's back. Champions League. A lot of good matches coming up. We'll talk about it here on the other side. This is The Throw-In on The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. You can stream it on the Horn app or at hornfm.com.
Welcome back to The Throw-In.
Man, Zach, you must have had some fun picking out those sweet tunes coming off fresh from the almost soon to be released. Oh, man, I'm ready to go. FIFA 18 comes out this Friday, and I'm still hoping that we get that mythical tournament put on eventually one of these days. I know we've had people offer to host us to play that tournament, Zach, and I'm hoping that you decide to play if we put this thing on. I think we're going to get it done this year.
I'm not really good at FIFA. The one thing that I can do when I play is win whenever I use Kit's team. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't play this right now. But I only win whenever I play as River Plate.
You did win that one time when you played as River Plate. I was pretty embarrassed.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't win with any other team, especially now with like a Manchester United. You'd think that I would be my go-to team. But that's all I can do.
Every year is different. That's why we play the game, but I am looking forward to it. You are listening to The Throw-In right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming worldwide on hornfm.com and on the Horn FM app. Don't forget, you can like our Facebook. Just search The Throw-In on Facebook. Obviously, you can also follow us on Twitter, at The Throw-In ATX. My main man over here, Zach Christodoulis, joining alongside me on The Smash, Justin Simmons. You can follow me on Twitter, at The Smash Simmons, and on Instagram. And for Zach, it's probably the best Twitter handle that is out there, at Soccer is a Sport.
The only reason it is that, and I say this every time, because as a soccer fan, I think your initial reaction to my Twitter handle should be, well, duh, of course it's a sport. What are you talking about? There are people at this very radio station. I'm looking at you, Bucky. I'm looking at you, Aaron Hogan. I'm looking at you, Trey Elling. And I'm looking at you, Brad Kilner,
yeah,
who say that soccer isn't a sport. Now, to be fair, there are a few people here in Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn that say, yeah, of course soccer's a sport.
Got some supporters.
But I feel like I need to defend myself every time I bring up a soccer story by saying, yeah, of course it's a sport.
Hey,
duh.
Man,
so my Twitter handle is a way to combat their negative feelings toward the sport, and I hope that every time they say it, it's brainwashing them in a way.
Hey, you are only speaking the truth with that Twitter handle each time you make a tweet, and I salute you for doing your job.
Yeah, but man, to be honest, I feel like I'm lessening my credibility with soccer fans whenever I say, oh yeah, my Twitter handle is, well, it's at Soccer is a Sport, and they're like, well, yeah, it is. Why would it not be?
Don't let them deter you. They already know that. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for all the haters out there. The ones that drink the haterade that tell us that soccer isn't beautiful or soccer isn't a contact sport. Are you kidding? I have seen some nasty soccer injuries. I have seen some harsh shoulder-to-shoulder challenges.
Look at Wayne Rooney's face and tell me soccer isn't a contact sport. Did you see that picture from this weekend?
It looked like he was at the bloody fight inside the ring that he went 12 rounds with the chump he did.
I don't know what accent that was, but that was pretty terrible. That was bad.
I think it sounds like Wayne Rooney after a bender.
You think so? For those that missed it, he got elbowed in the face, and he did not look really good after it. He looked like some sort of evil villain with blood just streaming from his eye. It's not a good look.
Is it bad to think that even with that horrible accent, I probably still sounded more coherent and more understandable than what Wayne Rooney probably sounds when he is sober? Oh, we have to post that picture of Wayne Rooney in his busted up eye. Don't forget, folks, you can chime in with us here at the show, 512-447-3776, if you're feeling really gutsy and want to talk to us on air, or you can text us, which most people do, 512-337-3776. And talking about text, the one and only Phil West also chime in on the text line when we're going back to our NASL talk about the Cosmos as well. Also, MLS could have had the Cosmos name with the Metro Stars, but then Red Bull bought them and made them Red Bull FC or whatever they are.
New York Red Bulls, yeah.
Thank you. I think the comeback to that, Phil, is that whoever decided that Metro Stars was a good name should have got fired instantly and just taken the Cosmos.
Yo, so you think that they never should have been the Metro Stars to begin
with? That's a horrible name.
What do you mean?
I think Metro.
Do you think the Austin Soccerdillos, is that what they were back in the day? Is that a better name?
Soccerdillos. Well, the thing is, with the Soccerdillos, you kind of knew what you were getting with.
Hey, man.
Getting out of them.
You know, there was like, what do we want to name our soccer team? Like, I don't know, man. Armadillos are from Texas. And like, I don't know, they're going to be playing soccer. So, like, Soccerdillos? Like, come on, how high were those people?
Hey,
Because
hey, Zach, it's Austin. You keep Austin weird, and I still try to hold true to that. But when it comes to the name Metro Stars, I mean, I will say that there were a lot of bad MLS team names at the very beginning. You had the Tampa Bay Mutiny. You had the San Jose Clash. The Kansas City Wiz. Just the Wiz, not the Wizards, just the Wiz.
The Wiz Kids? Is that what that was? No.
Where they had those rainbow kits and such? Yes, they were very loud.
I think that's a good look in 2017. I think that someone could take that brand back, don't you think?
Well, they got sued by the movie, the
Wiz. Oh, did they?
Yes, that's why they couldn't use the name or the camera store, one of the two. And then Phil, nice enough to chime in again, who decided on that Metro Stars team owner name? The owners did because they were owned by Metro Media. So, yes, I get it. Not the best team name, and even Phil agrees. But did you like the Metro Stars name?
I mean, yeah, you'd expect them to want to go with the iconic brand at the time. But I also understand how media conglomerates work and how they want their name out there everywhere. I mean, if you look at
it. That's what Red Bull did.
Yeah, it's what Red Bull did. There's nothing different than
two different leagues, three different leagues.
Yeah, so it is what it is, I think, at this point. Now, we wanted to talk this segment a little bit about the Premier League because as someone from Manchester United, I gotta say, it's a good year if you're from Manchester right now. You look at the table, and we've got teams first and second. And I gotta say, it feels a little bit weird. I'm not gonna say good. It feels a little bit weird that we're back to seeing the Manchester Cities and the Uniteds and the Chelseas, and yes, even you Tottenham fans, back at the top of the table.
I'm just excited to see the fact that we are kind of on the road to having probably one of the most memorable derbies in quite some time December 9th is when the first time in the Premier League season that Manchester City and United will meet. And just the way that these two teams have been playing.
Why do we have to wait until December? This game is a September game. It's an October game.
I know.
It should have happened already.
We were talking about what bet was going to be on the line for this game because we always have a bet for every Manchester Derby match.
And you lost the last one. I hate to bring this back up, but you had to dye your hair red and you kept it for like a week and I wasn't even here when you did it. So
I just listened to the big boss and the kit says we're going to get it done. We're going to get it done that week. I made sure we got it done. And we have photos to prove it. You can have those forever. I was just redhead for maybe a week, Zach, but that picture, it lasts a lifetime.
It lasts a lifetime, especially in 2017 when everything's put up on the internet. By the way, you can check those out on our Facebook page. Just search at The Throw-In ATX.
It's funny, though. Those are probably the most emo pictures I've ever taken in my life. And I was like, you know, in my prime, right at that emo phase where all that emo music was really cool, and I just never got into it.
Really?
Oh, well, you're a little too young to remember those days. I think that was like sixth grade for you, fifth grade or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been 2006, 2005.
Wherever Yellow Card was playing on air, when that was cool at that time.
Oh, man. But the Premier League, I got to say, it's been really fun to watch Manchester United this year, and I'm not saying that as a homer. Well, okay, I'm a little bit saying that as a homer.
You guys got Matic.
We've got Lukaku. He's been doing great. There's been some drama around some chants that the fans have come up with surrounding him.
A little racy. Probably shouldn't chant that about him.
That's racist.
There you go. It's just the truth. It really is. They said they're going to stop. Lukaku, like a true professional, though, handled it in stride. But, you know, we have mentioned before that there is still a problem in the game, especially in the European countries, with racism and soccer chants and such. But
and as much as I hate to admit it, Justin, your citizens are looking pretty good. And
just a little.
Roy Hodgson had some words to say after the game against Manchester City earlier in the week.
Roy, how do you reflect on that today?
Badly, I guess. I thought at halftime we'd to come in 1-0, even a little bit unfortunate. I thought we'd play some good football, and I was rather hoping that we could keep that up in the second half, but unfortunately, two quick goals or quickish goals, and of course, when they get 2-3 and it goes in and up with the quality they have, the passing and the movement, it becomes very, very difficult. So it's a bad defeat, you know, we're very unhappy about that. But we know that there is a lot of work to do with this group of players, and they know also that they've got a lot of work to do. So all we can do is keep going and accept that maybe this wasn't going to be an easy game to come and get points, and unfortunately we didn't get any.
And he goes on to say that we have to accept that we've been given a headache, and now they have to try and find the aspirin. So I think, Justin, you know, on a typical Sunday morning, you're always kind of looking for the Ashburn. You're recovering from the night before. You kind of know how
you
know how Crystal Palace feels now as well. So I don't know.
It's been a tough road for Crystal Palace. This was a team that, you know, held on to the middle stages of the Premier League last year. They're a feisty group. I really like Fonsu Mensah, who happens to be a Manchester United loanee that started for Crystal Palace yesterday. But it's a tough road for them. But City, just the attack. I don't know if there's any team right now in the Premier League that can stop them. I mean, Tottenham with Harry Kane getting their win 3-2 yesterday, that was impressive. But the way that City has been blowing out teams, people talk about how there's not enough goals scored in soccer. Well, just watch Manchester City because they put, what, 5 up on them yesterday?
What is their average? That's what I want to know. It has to be 4 or 5 goals per match at this point,
well, they
right?
They had 6 in the game previous to yesterday's game. They scored 5 yesterday. I'm not very good at math, and I mean, we have to look it up.
We both work in radio, so there's no way that we're going to be the ones to tell you.
I failed like college algebra like twice. That was like the very last class I needed for my degree.
Somehow I avoided all math classes when I was at the University of Texas. I can thank the fine folks at McCallum High School for helping me get the college credit while I was there. But that does not mean that I'm good at math. But this Manchester City team, Justin, I hate to say it, they're looking really good. They've continued the start. I think at the beginning of the season, we saw what Manchester United was doing. They had the 4 or 5 goal per game average, and then they've kind of slowed down since then. They've had a few injuries. Well, their defense does not look good. I'll be the first to admit that.
But you guys have Valencia. He looks great.
Yeah, we do. But
no Pogba.
Yeah, no Pogba right now. He could be out. What were we looking at before the show?
12 days to 12 weeks.
Yeah, it depends on whether or not he needs surgery. Manchester United expected to make a statement about that later in the week. But it's going to be a struggle, I think, for Manchester United. But the good news is that after December or January, we're going to have Zlatan back. And I think that at that point, we could make a good run at being champions again, and I think that's going to feel great.
But what about the weapons on City? Because they talked about last season how Jesus was going to be the guy that replaced Sergio Kun Aguero, like Kit would like to refer to him as. And Aguero has been tearing it up in the last couple of weeks, not just in the Premier League, but in Champions League play as well. And Aguero is now, I believe, 3 goals off the all-time scoring list, a record that has stand at Manchester City since like 1939.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's going to be a good year, I think, for both teams from Manchester. And the question is going to be ultimately, who can go the furthest? Who has the most depth? And right now, I think I have to give it to your citizens because United is, we face some injuries and I think things have kind of leveled off a little bit. We need to be able to get back on and be able to get these 4 and 5 goal wins because goal differential matters.
Well, real quick, let's talk about Chelsea and Liverpool. Both those
teams
win.
Do we have to talk about Liverpool?
Not really, but they still won 3-2. I thought Leicester was going to pull off the comeback because I'm just, you know, I'm always going to like the Foxes.
Yeah. Going forward, you're going to be a bandwagon fan of theirs?
Just like you.
Of course.
I mean, I probably know that team that won the championship, like player for player by heart, just because it was so iconic. But we lavish praise on United, who only won 1-0 yesterday, rightfully managed lavish praise on City, who won 5-0. But what about Chelsea? 4-0 yesterday. Wags, who comes on later on the air, like at 12 here on the horn.
At 11, yeah, 11, with the Wagner Wire, your fantasy football show.
A big Chelsea fan. They win 4-0. Conte has that group playing good football. They still have Fabregas. They have Conte. They're going to get Eden Hazard back eventually.
I got to say, I was a little bit mad at Wags earlier in the week yesterday. I remember him saying that Conte would be a good player for Chelsea, and he was on the hype with him. He was like, this is going to be amazing. He's going to have another great season. And so I picked him in my fantasy team that we're doing with the Wagner Wire partnership here with the throw-in, and he has not delivered the last few weeks. And I called him out on it on Twitter yesterday. I got into a little bit of a Twitter spat with him, and he said, look, I never said he was going to be a good fantasy player. I just said he's going to be great for Chelsea, and so I might be dropping him in my fantasy lineup here pretty soon.
The thing about fantasy, though, it uses like a different algorithm to measure the points, and it's not necessarily decided on like shots or tackles and such. It's more dependent on ball control and how much they carry the ball and goals and assists. And that's where I feel that it kind of does a disservice to a player like Conte, who, let's remember, I think you can safely say, swung the Premier League title for two teams in the last two seasons.
For sure. And now I want to give a quick rundown of how that Fantasy Premier League table is doing, not only because I'm still number one with a pretty hefty 30-point lead.
I think it's because you drafted well in week one.
Yeah, week one is saving me right now. Other members of the show that you might be concerned about here in this fantasy league, Lee Nichols is seated fifth.
What? How is Lee fifth?
He's fifth. Justin, you are 10th. You have not moved. You're sitting at 290 points.
We're right at mid-table. We have a place at the table.
A seat at the table. Adam Wagner of the Wagner Wilds, of the Wagner Wire, I should say. It's a little embarrassing for him because he's currently in the bottom half of the table at 11th. Phil West. Phil, where are you? Show up. You're 14th. And the disappointment of the throw-in, Kit McConico, is currently last. I don't think he's touched his roster since submitting it. And I think he was late submitting it. I think he got in at week two.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, not only is he going to be in last place for a while, he also didn't submit a roster until after week one. So considering that points add up throughout entire season.
He's 20 points back from 18th, which is second to last in the league. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to hit around the world. We're also going to give you your local college soccer update, and we'll have a whole lot more fun here on the other side. This is The Throw-In. It's where Austin talks soccer on The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. You can stream it on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Welcome back to The Throw-In.
I wish Jerome was here. He could probably tell us what they're saying in that song. That is French, right?
Yeah, I think so, and I hope that they're not saying anything bad. I didn't look up the lyrics.
Does it really matter? Doesn't it get by the FCC rules if it doesn't? If it isn't in English?
I don't think that's how that works.
I thought we could say the W word on the air because we're not English.
Let's not test that theory.
I was just asking. This is the type of fun we have here on The Throw-In, 104.9 AM 1260, streaming worldwide on hornfm.com and on the Horn FM app, where we love to talk about soccer. I'm The Smash Justin Simmons. You can follow me at The Smash Simmons on Twitter, on Instagram. Next to me, my good friend and the best producer all around, great guy, The Count. The GOAT, Zach Christodoulidis. You can follow him on Twitter at Soccer Is a Sport.
Justin, this text comes in on the Specs text line. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Follow the show at The Throw-In ATX.
There you go. That's all I wanted to say.
This text comes in. It's Phil West. He's trying to defend himself for his lackluster performance
in Fantasy League?
In the Fantasy Premier League. He says, guys, I'm writing a book. That's why I haven't maintained my team. Yeah, dudes. Sup, bro?
Sup, dude.
So, Phil, you also have a kid. Like, we get it. You're busy.
Yeah, man.
No worries, man.
Does he have tenure now? I know he's down at UTSA a lot. So
he's a busy guy, and I get it. But come on, man, you got a kid now too. You can drop that excuse in as well.
Also, off of the text line, we had this about our U.S. soccer conversation from earlier in the show. And don't forget, you can always go back and listen on hornfm.com under the on-air tab. We're under the weekend sub-tab over that. You can just find us there.
Good luck.
I'm not exactly sure what to make of the MLS trying to expand and the lower tiers being consolidated, but is this ultimately good for U.S. soccer? Right now, I'm thinking it's more of a cash grab than anything else.
I mean, as with everything in soccer, right?
It kind of feels like that. I'm not sure if player development is at the core issue here. It doesn't seem to be.
I will say it is weird to have two Division II leagues. Like, I think that was a weird thing in U.S. soccer. So I think the fact that we're getting some clarification on that is probably a good thing.
But I will agree with you there. I like to see the fact that it is streamlined, but like Kit mentioned, in Argentina, you had the Super League go to like 30 teams. That's what we're looking at in USL. And we know that they're going to be divided, but still, 30 teams, that's a lot of soccer to be played.
All right, we've talked local soccer. Now it's time to hit it.
It's time to go around the world. Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Fueled by breakfast tacos.
Well, we got some really interesting stories here for you. Did you see the spat between Neymar and Cavani?
Not
is PSG already in trouble?
Not all is well in paradise, apparently.
Well, apparently Neymar apologized a little bit afterward, but one has to think that we can see the end of Cavani sooner rather than later, possibly this transfer window. Another funny article that I came across online, Baron Trump, the son of the 45.
The future of American soccer, question mark?
Maybe. He currently plies his trade for the DC United U-12 team. Now, granted, the U-12 is pay-for-play, as is most soccer here in the United States. According to his father, they should not have any problems paying the fee. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to make the U-13 team, though, and that's where it really starts to get serious.
All right.
What, could you support Baron Trump if he's the face of American soccer?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. There's a lot of political implications in
okay,
that.
Okay, we'll leave it for another time. We were talking about the fights. I still think that Triple G won last week against Canelo, but
man, you are just still going on about that.
I love boxing. It was a travesty, and that's what's killed the sport. But maybe this man can help bring it back. Rio Ferdinand, the former Manchester United great, saying that he wants to step in between the ropes, maybe have a good time with Ricky Houghton and the other blokes like Wayne Rooney.
All right, that's our trip around the world. Now we're going to go back to Justin and get the local college soccer update.
We talked about Angela Kelly's squad. UT, fantastic. Undefeated, unbeaten, a perfect 9-0, 1-0 in conference play after the 1-0 victory against Iowa State. It was Haley Berg with the game-winning goal in the 49th minute, and she scored her third goal of the season to give Texas the win. They will be in action today at Mike A. Myers Field at 1 p.m.
Against 1 a.m. That'd be a fun game start time.
It would be much cooler to go out there against the number 5 team in the nation in West Virginia. It's a Big 12 matchup. The first 100 fans get free Argyle socks. Somebody get me something cool from there because I don't have time to go out today.
Yeah, I'd love to go out to that game, not only for the Argyle socks, but there was a great article on 247sports.com about how Texas soccer is now the only team with a perfect record in the nation, which I think is huge. They quote a lot of higher-ups at UT, including former head football coach Mac Brown. He says, love it. Congrats. Stay with your progress. Just keep doing what made you so good.
Well, we've had Angela Kelly on the show before. We hope to have her on again, but good luck to her and her ladies as they take on West Virginia, the Mountaineers, later today. Looking at the Division II ranks, the men of the Hilltop, number 17 SEU Hilltoppers. They got a win 2-0 against UT Perryman Basin. They'll be in action on Thursday at Rogers State. The women, number 6, they got their win. They have the St. Mary's battle on Thursday as well. Well, I guess we're out of time.
That's it for us on the throw-in.
FIFA 18 on Friday. Make sure you get it so we can play against each other.
That's true. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, right here on 104.9 The Horn. This is The Throw-In. It's where Austin talks sports, and it's where Austin talks soccer. As Kit always says, go enjoy the soccer, everyone.